tonight's first message about this particular series, and this will be a four series of sermons, sermons in a series, I should say, that I'm going to be preaching about getting connected. The internet has changed most of our lives over the past 10 years. The vast majority of us connect to the internet and employ email on a regular basis, nearly every day. Now, whether you have dial-up or, you know, a broadband connection, you really cannot understand how to send emails or access the vast amount of information in cyberspace unless you are connected. You've got to be connected. How many of you indeed have a computer? Can I see your hand? All right. How many of you are connected? The internet and that sort of thing. All right, so many of us are, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. During the month of January, I'm going to take the concept of being connected and make a spiritual application of that connection. You cannot communicate with God or access His vast spiritual wisdom unless you are connected. So I'm calling this little four-sermon series, Get Connected. Today we're going to talk about being connected to your Creator. Next Sunday evening, it's all evening messages, we're going to talk about being connected through our church. The next Sunday, the message will be get connected through your community. And the last message will be connected, get connected through your commitments. Now, Sunday, next Sunday night, everyone's going to get a connected bracelet. Somebody said to me, "Preacher, you've got to be kidding. You want me to wear a bracelet?" It was a man. And I said, "You bet your bippy I do. I better see it on your wrist, too." Everybody next Sunday night is going to get a connected bracelet. I'm asking you to wear that every place you go for 30 days. Every place. It's going to go along with my message. So the New Year stuff, and you're going to have a little bracelet on your arm with a word saying, connected. All you big hunk of macho men are going to have to wear it. And all of you feminine little ladies will have to wear it. It won't always match every one of your outfits, but it will be good for you to wear it. It's not a fashion style statement we're trying to make. Now, I have a reason. You say, "You're asking me to wear this special bracelet for the next 30 days? Yes. For what reason, preacher? Reason number one, it will remind you, first of all, to stay connected to God through a personal daily devotional time. Secondly, it will allow you to recognize other members of Harvest Baptist Temple and that family, and you can connect with them every day through fellowship. And thirdly, when people ask you, what in the world are you wearing on your wrist? I mean, I want you to wear it to work. I want you to wear it at the office. I want you to wear it wherever you go. Somebody's going to say, "Sissy, what you got on your wrist?" You say, "Don't call me a sissy again. I'll knock you out." No, I don't mean that. You don't say that. It gives you a reason to talk about being connected to God. You say, "Hey, my church has passed out these connected bracelets because, number one, we learned that we are connected to God, and you can be too." I'd like to tell you how you can be. So it's a witnessing tool as well as anything else. Now, I heard of another church doing this some time ago, and you wouldn't believe the testimony of the people in the church, what happened when folks saw them wearing the connected bracelets. People were saved. People were delivered from sin. They were delivered from habits because somebody had the nerve to tell them about what it meant. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful after 4 or 5 weeks we get a lot of great testimonies? Would you document anybody who talks to you about this and send it to me and let me know what they say? And I'll use that in my messages from time to time. Get connected. Tonight, connected to your Creator. In the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. As we think about making connection with the Creator, let's notice just three important truths tonight. Would you write this first one down? Number one, to establish your connection, trust Jesus only. To establish your connection, trust Jesus only. Do you remember Job in the Bible from the Old Testament? Job suffered tremendous pain in his life. Yet in the midst of all of his suffering, he never turned his back on Almighty God. In all of the pain and suffering, he never turned his back on God. Job realized that God was so awesome and so powerful that he could not relate to him on his own. We are not in his league. I want you to know, Job understood we all need some kind of mediator between God and us. In Job chapter 9, he made an amazing observation. Would you go with me to the book of Job, please? Job chapter 9. And I want you to look at verse number 1. First of all, this is a powerful, powerful verse in Job chapter 9, verse number 1. He starts out in 1 and 2. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Then go down to verse 32 and 33. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand up on us both. That word daysman from the Hebrew is like our word umpire. In other words, an umpire is someone who settles differences between two teams. In the Old Testament begs the question, is there someone to mediate between us, a sinful person, and a holy God? We need an umpire, somebody to stand between us and God. We need somebody. The New Testament answers the question in the text that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many. Now here are two of the most life-changing truths that you will ever know and ever understand. Truth number one is this. You can know, everybody, you can know the Creator. That's an amazing truth, everybody. You can know the Creator. There is a God, and ladies and gentlemen, you can know Him personally. Amen. And the second truth I want to talk about tonight is there is only one modem. That's Jesus. Oh, amen. That's two truths you need to know. From the beginning of recorded human history, millions of individuals have gazed upon the star-filled sky and wondered, is there anybody out there? When you consider and wonder of the majesty of the universe, you're driven to conclude, you've got to conclude that it just didn't happen with a Big Bang theory. It didn't happen from a little amoeba cell. When you see the intricate design of everything we have, you've got to understand there had to be a Creator. And there was a Creator. And there is a Creator. In fact, we need this umpire who is this mediator, because we need to know that God created it all. Go to Psalm 53 and verse 1. You know, someone higher than our intelligence created everything. And that someone is God. And the Bible has a verse to describe a person who doesn't acknowledge that there is a God. The Bible has that verse. It's right there in Psalm 53, verse 1. What's it say? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible has an answer for that, doesn't it? You see, in the Hebrew language, the verse describes someone who says no God. It's like during the Christmas holiday season, you've been eating a big meal. And how many of you ate big meals the whole Christmas season? Yeah, I did too. Sorry. We ate so much, and at the end of a big meal, they said, oh, here's some dessert. It's like saying, oh, no dessert right now. No dessert. And that's what people are saying, no God. That's the idea of Psalm 53. It's a person who says, no God for me. You see, knowing God is a personal choice. Brother, if you didn't have any dessert, there was still dessert. You may not have had any, but there was still dessert. Now, there is a God, whether you say there's a God for you or not, there is a God. And you can say, no God for me, I don't believe in a God. But there still is a God. He's alive and well, and he's a God of this universe. There is a God in heaven. Yes, there is. He's alive and well. You see, there's more that God desires of you than simply believing he exists. I believe in God, somebody says, great. But believing there is a God is only the first step. Some people think all you have to do is to go to heaven is to believe in God. But James writes, if I remember correctly, that even the demons in hell believe there's a God. And even the demons in hell even tremble because there is a God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble necessarily, but you will never get to heaven because you believe there's a God. Even the devils believe there's a God and tremble, but they're still going to be in hell. You've got to do something in order to be saved. You've got to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Life's more than just believing he exists. He wants you to know him. In Michelangelo's famous painting of the creation, he portrays the hand of God reaching one out to touch the finger of a lifeless man, they tell me. I've never seen that particular painting. But it pictures God reaching out to make a connection with us. You see, God initiated a love relationship with the people he created. God has always desired to make a connection with each of us. Whether men, women, boy, or girl, God made us, he created us, and he reaches out to us. Life begins with Jesus. And that's the point. You can make contact with the creator of the universe, but there's a condition. There's only one modem. This is the second point here. The two of the most life-changing truths I gave you is, number one, you can know the creator. There's a God and you can know him. But number two, there is only one modem. That's Jesus. When you connect with the internet, you must have what I understand is a modem. It may be a phone modem, a cable modem, a DSL, a wireless network. Without some kind of modem, they tell me you can't connect. Well, there are several choices of modems to connect to the internet. The Bible makes it very clear. There's only one modem to connect to God. Now, there needs to be more amens than that. There's only one modem that connects to God, and that's Jesus. Paul wrote to Timothy that there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I warned you before that in our post-modern culture, it's no longer politically correct to insist that there is one way to heaven. In our age of anything goes and anything goes tolerance sort of thing, we hear all religions are the same. I hear it all the time from people. Well, Pastor, it doesn't matter, does it, which way you go? Don't all paths lead to heaven? I mean, that's what everybody says to me. Well, Pastor, I don't go to your church, but don't all paths lead to heaven? And I simply say, no, all paths do not lead to heaven. And they say, yeah, but I can be on the Muslim pathway to God, can I? That's okay. If I choose to take the Buddhist way, is that pathway all right? No problem. If I want to take the Mormon pathway or the Hindu pathway or the New Age do-it-yourselfer pathway, isn't that okay? Now, all these pathways will take you to God, somebody says. Right, preacher? There's only one thing wrong with that philosophy. It's false. Other than that, it sounds pretty good, maybe. But it's false. Amen. But if you start with false premise, now listen, then your conclusions are going to be false as well. If you start with a false premise, your conclusion is going to be false as well. You can't start that way. There are not many paths. There are not many doors. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. There's only one. The first of this year, we need to understand that and teach everybody that particular truth. Go with me to John chapter 14 and verse number 6, and then Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. If you start with a false premise that there are many pathways to God, then everything you surmise after that will be faulty. Of course, you have the freedom to believe whatever you choose to believe, but please be advised that the Bible never suggests that stuff. No, sir. The Bible doesn't teach any other thing that Jesus is the way. It doesn't even teach Jesus is the best way. The Bible unequivocally teaches there is only one way. That's his way. What's it say in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Does it not say that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, you can't go any other way. What about Acts chapter 4, the book of Acts? Salvation is found in none other. No place else. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I guess what we need to say, if you don't come Jesus' way, you don't come anyway. The only way is his way. He's the only modem. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? If in order to mediate between a holy God and sinful man, the arbitrator or umpire would have to be acceptable to both parties. Because Jesus was God in the flesh, coexistent, co-eternal with God from the beginning, of the beginning, he qualified on the divine side because he was a fully human. The man, Jesus Christ, qualified on the human side. And when he was hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, Jesus reached down to sinful man. And he reached up with the other hand and stirred the portals of heaven and grabbed the hand of a perfect God. Then he brought the two together and said, Telestai, it is finished. And he joined God's hand with sinful man. And all that man has to do is just simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him in his heart. What a God, amen? What a Savior. Jesus reaches down and reaches up and joins our hand. What a Savior. So Jesus is not just one of the pathways to God. He's the only pathway to God. R.C. Sproul, a New Testament writer, said Moses could mediate the law. Muhammad could brandish a sword. Buddha could give personal counsel. Confucius could offer wise sayings. But only Jesus offered to make an atonement for the sins of the world. Amen. It's only Jesus Christ. Roman numeral number 2. I said, first of all, to establish your connection, trust Jesus only. Number 2, to enhance your connection, communicate with Jesus daily. To establish your connection with God, you must trust Jesus only. Now, some of you are thinking, amen, preacher. That's what I did years ago. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Good for you. That's wonderful. You establish your connection with the Creator. Someone says, I established that when I was 9 years old. 41 years ago, I established that connection. That's great. That's wonderful. But the tragedy of many Christians is that they never do anything to enhance or improve their original connection. That's what I see in our churches. Once you're connected to God through Jesus Christ, you must continually upgrade the connection. Oh, God isn't changing. No, you don't have to worry about that. But we grow older. And we change. You know what? My fellows tell me around here that we need to change computers ever so often. Brian says he's going to get the radio station in a sense to where every year, every other year, we change out computers because they get old and worn out, and we've got to get a new one. They tell me from time to time that we have to have new computers for the offices. You can't keep using the old stuff all the time. I'm thinking, man, why spend all that money? But it's got to be done. But ladies and gentlemen, what about us in life with God? Maybe we need to enhance our connection. Maybe you did get saved years ago. I watch you, some of you, as you sing. You forgot the joy, didn't you, some of you? You sing about the things of God, you don't have the same joy you used to have. You need to refurbish your connection. Don't ever get used to singing the same old songs of the faith. One lady told me the other day, she said, I love coming to your church, Pastor, because you still use the hymnal. That's exactly what she told me. She said, I hope you continue to use the hymnal, because I love singing out of the hymnal. She said, I love those old songs of the faith. You know, I don't care how many times you sing Amazing Grace, it's still a sweet song to sing. Come on, amen. How firm a foundation. It's a wonderful song to sing. Those are great songs of the faith. Never sing them so often that you get used to them and you just let the words fly off your head. No, think about them. What God's doing, and refurbish your connection. This morning, a lady was here. This morning, I talked with her after the service, and she said to me, oh, I so enjoy coming to your church. She said, at your church, we learn what the Bible has to say. I said, really? Doesn't that happen at your church? And she said, no. We don't even take our Bibles to church. And hardly anyone ever talks out of the Bible. But I come here and I learn a lot of stuff from the Bible. It's amazing, she said. Isn't that good? But isn't it sad? On one side, that sounds real good, but on the other side, isn't it sad that we can go to church and never even have to carry our Bible? And then the member says about the leadership of the church, they never talk about the Bible. I wonder what in the world we're talking about. If it's church and God's Word, what are we talking about? So Jesus is not the just one way. He's the only way. And you've got to keep your connection. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We change, and we need to have spiritual growth. And Peter concludes his two letters with a powerful directive, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For most of us in this room tonight, we don't necessarily perhaps need to get connected. Maybe we are already connected. But just perhaps tonight, we need to improve our relationship with God. And the best way to do that is to be committing yourself to spending time alone with God every day. And that's how you upgrade your connection. There are two things you must do every day to grow spiritually. You must study your Bible and you must pray. That sounds old-fashioned, doesn't it? Preacher, why don't you give us something new? Okay, study your Bible and pray. You say, preacher, something new. Okay, pray and study your Bible. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's stuff that works. And it still works today in 2010. God speaks to us through the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. I'm amazed at how many Christian people have never received a message directly from God. If I ask you tonight, how many of you have ever received a message directly from God? I wonder how many of you would raise your hand. But I'm amazed at so many people who have never received a direct message from God. What are you listening for? Are you waiting for an audible voice? Now listen, you'll never hear that. No, you'll never hear the audible voice of God. Are you looking for God to write a message across the sky and in 100-foot letters and talk to you? Or perhaps you check your email every day and you see if you got a message from yahweh.heaven.com? I don't think so. It doesn't work like that. Don't hold your breath. You probably never will hear from God that way. You need to know God speaks to his children through his Bible. Now that's how God's going to speak to you, is through this book. The written word. The Bible, I told you before, is B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Your creator has given you his owner's manual. The user's guide. Called the Bible. I'm amazed at how many people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ don't open the Bible up every day and don't even bring the Bible to church. Now, there may be some churches where you don't need your Bible. I told you about that one just a moment ago. But you need to bring your Bible here. And you need to have it open to check Pastor Lewis, make sure he's preaching right. That's okay. You can do that. Honestly, you need to bring your Bible so you can do a little Bible study while I'm preaching. Without your Bible, going to church is like a tennis player not going to his racket with his racket to the tennis court. Or it's me saying, hey, Brother Jim, let's go golfing. And I meet him out there on the golf course on tee number one, don't even have my golf clubs. That's silly, you'd say. You can't golf without golf clubs. And you can't be a Christian without the Word of God. You got to have the B-I-B-L-E with you. In 2010, keep it with you. Memorize it. Know it. You may be thinking, what do you mean God speaks through the Bible? For many years, I have encouraged folks to read the Psalm, at least five Psalms and one proverb every single day. That's how you do devotions. Read a Psalm and read five Psalms and one proverb every day, and then maybe get in the book of John or some good book like that and read a chapter there. But spend time with the Lord. I remember a preacher saying that he was boarding a plane right after 9/11. And he was a little worried, scared, because a lot of folks were scared after those terrorist attack. But he said he knelt in prayer, and as he began to pray, he felt like he should read Psalm 27. Would you go to Psalm 27? When he said this, I opened my Bible, and I wanted to see, what's he talking about? He said he wanted God to give him some comfort, and he said that day, he just felt like in his prayer time to open up Psalm 27. And that psalm says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" He says, I read that. It was as if the God of the universe was saying to me, don't be afraid. Amen. And that's exactly what God was saying, because God speaks to you through this book. If you want 2010 to be the very best year in your life, the best advice I can give you is to make a commitment to God to read this Bible every day. It will enhance your connection. God speaks to us through the Bible. Amen. Number two, we speak to God through our prayer. I call it knee mail. That's good, huh? God speaks to us, and then we speak to God through prayer. Knee mail to God. In addition to reading your Bible every morning, I think you ought to start your day by prayer. Most of you probably already do. And that's wonderful. What does Mark 1:35 say? Something about very early in the morning, while it was yet dark. What did Jesus do? He got up. And what did he do? He went off to a solitary place. And what did he do? He prayed. Jesus had a special connection with God the Father. He was one with the Father. Yet he recognized the importance of spending time with the Father alone in prayer. Do you practice that, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about getting connected. One of the things that little bracelet's going to do for you is in the morning, because I want you to sleep with it. And in the morning when you get up, you think, connected. I got to pray. Or you go to comb your hair and you go, better read my Bible. You go to brush your teeth. Get connected this year. Don't wait. Don't put it off. And let this little reminder remind you, I've got to get connected. I'd like to fill Clyde full of these little bracelets. Get connected. Everybody says, you one of them people too? You go over that church too? Wow, I see all these all over town. Yeah, get connected. As much as you want to meet God for a daily time of personal fellowship, He wants to even meet you more. See, God created you to have fellowship. Remember when He made Adam and Eve? Do you remember the story? What did He do? Every single day, if I remember the story, He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Is that what the Scripture says? The Scripture said, now why do you suppose the God of the universe, He literally walked with them? And what did He do when He walked with them, somebody? He fellowshipped. He talked with them. He walked with them in the garden in the cool of the evening, and they talked and they conversed, and they had a wonderful time. That's exactly what God wants to do with us, to fellowship. Maybe some of the sweetest fellowship they've ever had was in that garden. God would talk with them, walk with them. That's the source of Austin Miles' wonderful song, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share while we tarry there, none other has ever known in the garden. You need to have in 2010 a garden where you meet God and spend time with Him alone. We have some wonderful times of corporate worship and fellowship here at our church, but the sweetest times I've ever had is when I'm by myself. Everything around me is quiet, and it's just me and God. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, some of the sweetest times of my spiritual life is not where you can hear me pray and not where you can hear me preach and not where you can hear me talk, but it's where I'm alone with God and God's alone with me. Those are some of the sweetest times ever. Number three in your notes, to enjoy your connection, acknowledge Jesus fully. Now, number one, to establish your connection, trust Jesus only. To enhance your connection, communicate with Jesus daily. And number three, to enjoy your connection, acknowledge Jesus fully. Too many people in church are enduring religion instead of enjoying relationship. Do you know, since you got saved, you should be having a relationship with Jesus Christ? You're not supposed to try to endure religion. Since you've gotten saved, you should enjoy your relationship with Almighty God. I heard a preacher once say that most people have just enough religion to bug them, but not enough to bless them. And that's about the truth. Now, I'm not on big creeds, and I'm not on confessions and catechisms. I'm not much on that, but the Westminster Catechism, if you have a Presbyterian background, maybe you know what I'm talking about. The first question is, what is the chief and highest end of man? The answer is, to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever. Let me ask you this. Don't raise any hands, but are you enjoying God? Are you and God having a good time? Huh? Just answer that to yourself. Am I having a good time with God? Am I enjoying God? Do I enjoy His church, His people? Am I enjoying God? And then ask if you were enjoying yourself. Ask if you're enjoying God. Here's the key to enjoying God. Acknowledge Jesus in every area of your life. Go all out for Jesus in 2010. That's how you enjoy God. Go all out for Him. Become a radical, sold out, 24/7 Christian in 2010. You'll enjoy God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Would you go there, please? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The problem with so many Christians is that they leave Jesus at church. and they'd never acknowledge him amongst their friends and are at their jobs. I think it's a surefire formula for spiritual misery. Talk about him. You know, those who own a business, are you willing to publicly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your business? Those of you who have ownership in whatever, are you bragging about God giving you all that? He's my chief partner. Would you be willing to invite Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, to your social life? Are you inviting Jesus into what you're listening to? Think about it. You ever heard of the FCC? Ever heard of the FCC? Federal Communications Corporation? They keep licensing words that can be said on TV. And they keep licensing bad words all the time. Say, it's okay now to use this word. It's okay now to use that word. And it's getting worse and worse. I think in 2004, 2005, in that area, they said you could use some really nasty words. I won't say what they are because they're just too nasty. But you could use those words. But we as Christians shouldn't be wringing our hands and saying, oh, that's awful, that's terrible. We need to be salt and light ourselves. Amen. We live in a decaying culture. And I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to start using the J word. Amen. That's what we need to do. You know, it's politically correct to talk about God. It's okay. And you can be politically correct and talk about the good Lord. But if you speak the name Jesus, you're in trouble. You can't use the name Jesus in high school, ball games, convocations. You got to watch. You can say the good Lord, but you can't use Jesus. It's taboo. I think we should all commit ourselves this year to acknowledging Jesus in every way possible. Let everybody know it's Jesus. Christmas is the birth of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You can't connect without Jesus, without publicly acknowledging him. In Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to be finished. Remember, Jesus Christ was actually on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus. Remember that story? He was engulfed in a mob of people. In the mob, there was a woman who had been suffering from a bleeding problem for many, many years. She likely died. She went to all the doctors and spent everything she had, was no better. And somehow she slipped through that crowd. The Bible tells the story in Mark chapter 5. She slipped through that crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. She touched just a part of his cloak. And suddenly, the Bible said, she was instantly healed of that infirmity. Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she knew it. And Jesus said, in that big mob of people, who touched me? And his disciples and the men who were around him sort of said, Lord, what do you mean? Look at all these people. They're throbbing you. They're mobbing you. Everybody's touching you. We don't know what you mean. He said, oh, no, no. Somebody really touched me. I felt power or virtue leave my body, he said. Who was it? I felt power go out from me. He kept asking that until a woman finally came and acknowledged, sir, I touched you, Jesus. And Jesus turned to her and said, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Here's my question tonight. Do you, somebody in this room, need to touch Jesus tonight for some reason? There's a mob of people always going to be in front of you. Some will connect and some won't. But if you do, be sure to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the one who changed your life. Some of us in this room tonight have made some wrong decisions in our past. We've been heading in the wrong direction too long. What did Jesus say in Matthew? Would you go with me to one sentence of Scripture, Matthew chapter 7. I want to look with you just real quickly at verse number 13 and 14. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Wide's the gate, And you may be heading in the wrong direction, or maybe you've been heading for some time down the wrong direction. But the good news is that you can turn around. Isn't that good news? You can turn around. And you can start going the other direction. The Bible word for that is called repent. It literally means to change direction. Then Jesus also said in verse number 14 of the same seventh chapter, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It doesn't matter what mistakes or failures you may have had in your past. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the wide road, a wide gate. If you change your direction today and start moving toward Him, you'll find life and life eternal. Remember, there is a God, and He loves you, and you can know Him personally, and you can make connection tonight. You can make connection with your Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to everybody who's listening by radio or here in the auditorium, somehow, right now, let's get connected to Him. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.